Now then, I've been telling you about this. Well, next item. Also the programme. Lovely lady indeed. You may remember way back in February I spoke to quite a remarkable lady. Eileen Younghusband from Sully in the Vale of Glamorgan joined the WAF, the Women's Auxiliary Air Force, during the war, and her natural aptitude for maths eventually led her to become an officer in Fighter Command. In the filter room. Now, since we spoke last, Eileen has finished her book, One Woman's War, about her experiences, and she'll be launching it on her 90th birthday on Monday. Eileen, good to see you again.
It's lovely to be here.
Thank you for the rose that you picked as well. It's beautiful. Beautiful rose, deep red, and a fantastic smell to it too.
Yes, it's
lovely,
gorgeous.
Lovely, lovely. Now then, big birthday on Monday.
Exactly, yes.
90, the new 75, as they say.
That's right.
Exactly right, yeah. Just remind us now of the work, going back over your life and times, because the last time we spoke was in Barry Library, wasn't it?
That's quite right, yes.
That's right. Just remind us of the work you did in the WAF, and in particular in then the filter room of the Fighter Command.
Well, the filter room was the linchpin, actually, of the defence system. Radar, well, there were the radar stations on the coast,
yes,
and they were linked together in a chain. And, of course, radar was at its infancy, so there were often errors and not exactly correct positioning.
Right.
And that information had to be filtered, collated, corrected, and the aircraft, whether they're friend or foe, IFF on the friendly aircraft, it had to be placed in a position so it could be read and then transmitted to give air sea rescue, positions of aircraft fallen in the sea, air raid warnings. It had to give details to the observer corps to take the flights overland because radar wasn't very good overland.
Yes.
And also it was sent on to the operations room. Now, that's our bête noire in the filter room.
So
because no one ever shows the filter room. They show all those gorgeous girls pushing stuff around.
With the sticks, the long sticks?
That's right.
Yes.
And it's the work that we've done, a great effort. And they get all the glory. That's
so
right.
How long did you have? How many minutes do you have to work all this out?
Well, it was as instant as it could be. There would be circular plots, meaning one thing, triangle. You had to assimilate all this.
Right.
And put an arrow using the information, and that arrow was the final position of the aircraft at that moment. So it had to be as quick as possible. And you had to speak received English, because if you had an accent and someone had an accent at the radar station and you didn't understand each other, the aircraft were moving and there was a delay in the positioning.
I see.
It was very vital.
And no technology. I mean, was it slide rule and log
table? No. Instant.
Instant.
It was on a map table with every 10 miles circles from the state, the position of the radar station, so you mentally intersected the curves till you got a corrected position, and you looked at the heights that were reported. Some reported too high or too low. You had to estimate knowing the radar position, and you also had to work out the azimuth, so that you could turn it into a pinpoint position on a square on a map.
No prisoners taken, because if there was a mistake, people would know where the mistake was.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And then it had to be identified by the controller above.
I see.
All who came from the stock market, because they made instant decisions.
Was that right? Good grief. Since we last spoke, of course, I mentioned Barry. You've completed this project that you had, the book, launching a book on Monday, One Woman's War.
Yes.
Very special occasion.
By a Cardiff publishers, which I'm so pleased about.
Oh, that's
Candy Jar Books. Great. I'm so thrilled about that.
And on a special day, your birthday?
Yes.
Good heavens. Years have flown by, I bet.
Well, they passed very quickly, the last few ones, I must say.
Yes. So where is the launch taking place?
It's going to take place at St Athens, at RAF St Athens.
Ah, good place.
For a special reason, because the officer commanding, it's his birthday too on the same day.
How old is he then?
Half of me.
45?
45.
Oh, that's tremendous. Well, that's a tremendous decision. And you've also been invited, I gather, to the Swansea Air Show.
Yes, I'm going to the Swansea Air Show, and that's on the Saturday afterwards.
Wow.
And then afterwards to the Swansea Library to do a signing
To do a signing. We'll talk about the signings now. Now, you've been also taking your story, which is a tremendous story, to a new generation. You're giving talks in schools, haven't you?
Oh, yes. And they're my favourite talks. Yeah. I did a fabulous one at a faith school in Barry recently.
Yes.
And these children were 8 years old and they'd been at the Imperial War Museum on the Monday. They sat attentively. They watched the film of the filter room, which I've got a copy of.
All right.
And afterwards, I had 28 questions from them. And the first one was, did you ever meet Anne Frank? And the second one, what do you know about Neville Chamberlain? I was so impressed.
Good heavens. Tremendous. And this film you've got, the Ministry of Defence, they allow that, do they?
Well, we found it by chance when someone wanted to do a history of radar at the Shrivenham, at the Defence Academy. I was interviewed, and when I got to the Defence Academy, the man doing the filming and the video of us all, myself and Raymond Baxter, he suddenly produced this film, and I was sitting next to the Brigadier, and I grabbed his arm, I said, look, I'm in that film. I didn't know it still existed. And
well,
it was November 1943.
Well, well.
And the idea was that it was for the scientific observers to watch our work.
Yes.
And it was an eight-hour watch, telescoped into 20 minutes, all the vital parts.
I see. And since we spoke, I mean, you've been in demand. Two television companies now.
Yes.
Yeah. What's that all about then?
Well, I was approached, first of all, by Impossible Pictures. They were trying to find a woman who was on duty on D-Day.
Right.
And I took over at midnight to 8 in the morning, and I plotted out the aircraft taking the gliders, and all we could see all the ships in the channel, the small boats and the big boats, and we also could see the Stukas when they were bombing the troop landings.
Yes.
And they couldn't find, other than me... Apparently, most of us have all got died off, or else we can't talk, or else we can't remember. So I was about the only one they could... I must have been the bottom of the pile.
Oh, no, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. And it's called a documentary series, D-Day to Berlin.
That's right.
Isn't it? On Channel 4 in the autumn.
In the autumn, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing it because it covers... Oh, a large period.
And another production company is chatting to you about turning aspects of your life into a drama series.
Well, they're going to use my character in a drama they're making. And this company's Daybreak Films.
Yes.
And they're doing a pilot film at the moment. So the screenwriter interviewed me and they filmed me with view to using the information for him to build up the screenwriting for it.
Tremendous, tremendous. Going back now to the work that you were doing, of course, you mentioned there D-Day, of course, and then you talk about plotting aircraft, friendly aircraft and foe, but also you were there when the V-bombs started coming.
Yes, I gave the first signal of the first V-2 landing on London on September the 8th.
You gave the first
1944.
Signal?
Yes, I got the... It was code word Big Ben. And I had to stand on a chair and shout out Big Ben 3 times.
Good heavens.
But then I was sent over to Belgium on a special job with the V2s. Mm. And these were the V2s falling on Antwerp. And more fell on Antwerp than fell on London.
Gosh.
And we had to extrapolate the curve of the flight from the fall of shot back to where they were launched from. And all we had to do it with was a slide rule.
So you were able to measure the curve and then you'd know where they came from.
And then the mosquitoes would go out and bomb the lorries.
Yes.
And we killed all the lorries off by February, early March of 45.
So...
Hitler's manufacturers had not managed to catch up.
I see.
So that was interesting.
You mentioned now the European connection. How many languages do you speak?
Well, I speak English, French, German and Spanish. And I'm learning Italian.
Good heavens above. And, you know, you used the skill in French during the war, I'm sure. And because before the war, this is the interesting tale as well. We go back to this because I mentioned it last time. You were an au pair in France.
Yes, teaching 3 children of a French deputy, member of French Parliament, because au pair then meant you taught a language.
Yes.
And, of course, it was the time of the Munich crisis, so I had to escape from France and get home. And I've always wondered what happened to those three children. Mm. And would you believe it? I've met recently a French author writing about the WAF in French for the French public. And I mentioned that I wondered what had happened to Hélène Boucher. And within 4 or 5 weeks, she'd found this woman. I've had her on the phone 5 or 6 times. She sent me details of her father, who was a collaborator, and they escaped to Germany. And she then was press-ganged into the Hitler Jugend. They eventually escaped to the Argentine. And I've got enough material to write a novel, I think.
I bet. Well, gosh, the way the sort of, you know, the world comes back in a full circle.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, let's go back again, because you say you're learning Italian at the moment.
Yeah.
But you obtained a degree, didn't you, fairly recently in life?
Yes, I was 87 when I got my degree.
And what was the subject?
5 different ones.
Oh, 5 different ones, I see, right.
Well, I did it at Cardiff University in the lifelong learning section.
Right.
And I did it in Spanish and creative writing. And then I finished it off at the Open University in sociolinguistics. But they said, you've only done 70 points. We insist that you do 100. So I finished it off with a bit of philosophy and a perspective of complementary and alternative medicines. So it's a motley degree, I would say.
It's all-encompassing. Yeah, and this book now, you know, One Woman's War, I notice here, finally in print, and the foreword has been written by Emma Soames, Winston Churchill's granddaughter.
Yes.
Well, that's a feeling, isn't it?
Well, and she was absolutely thrilled to hear that I had plotted her father in as a doubtful raid from America because the pilot forgot to put on his identification, friend or foe.
Ah.
And then we suddenly got the signal, so we turned him into a friendly bomber returning home from America.
Oh.
In fact, she sent me an email only 2 or 3 days ago.
Oh.
Telling me, yeah, you know, good luck.
Well, good luck. And also endorsed by the forces, sweetheart, Dame Vera Lynn.
That's right. Yes,
oh, my word, there's some names down here now, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah, there are. Well, listen, Eileen, many thanks for coming in again. Lovely to see now the book finally in print. One Woman's War by Eileen Younghusband. It's out on Monday, your 90th birthday. And your signings, you mentioned one, didn't you?
I'm doing the signing in the Wellfield Road bookshop on the 8th. And then later on the Friday, I'm then doing it at Waterstones in Cardiff. So that's great.
Tremendous.
On the Friday.
Yeah.
And of course, at Swansea as well.
At Swansea.
So I expect my arm will be aching.
I'm sure it will be. Are you planning a big bash as well for your birthday?
I'm running one myself on the 10th, on the Sunday, and I've got about 56 people coming. Mixed collection of media and medicos, friends and gardeners, all sorts.
Well done, well done. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much,
congratulations on bringing the book out. And now that you've given me this rose, I've got to reciprocate. Let me lean down here.
Oh.
There we are. Happy birthday to you.
Oh.
Just a little gesture.
Thank
There's
you very much.
A bouquet
much.
Of flowers. Now, yours was a dark red and a large one with a lovely smell. I'm sure not quite as evocative as yours in smell, but certainly I hope in sight, because these are
they
cream
look
roses.
More virginal.
There we go.
Oh,
roses
I
for you there.
Them.
And we've all signed the card for you, Eileen.
Oh, thank you very much, everybody.
It's my particular pleasure.
This has been part of my celebrations, which I've enjoyed most of all.
Eileen, lovely of you to say that. And congratulations to you and well done. One Woman's War, then. Eileen Younghusband, a remarkable, remarkable lady.
Thank you, Ro. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.